This is Dr. Robert Gish. I'm here today to present the Hepatitis Web Study, Hepatitis C Online, State-of-the-Art Therapy for Hepatitis C. This is a 2014 presentation and part of the Hepatitis Web Study program from the University of Washington. The next slide shows the projected timing for new hepatitis C treatment regimen launches from 2014 to 2016. As you know, two recent hepatitis C medications, sofosbuvir and cimeprevir, have been FDA approved. Each of these are approved under different treatment algorithms, and it's not approved, although commonly used, cimeprevir and sofosbuvir together as part of the, quote, COSMOS protocol, end quote. This has led to the option for interferon-free treatment for many patients, and in some cases off-label, interferon and ribavirin-free treatment. The next medications expected to reach the market is a fixed-dose combination of sofosbuvir and ledipasvir, possibly with ribavirin. Abbott, with their ABT compounds, possibly feldapravir from Boehringer Ingelheim, and dacladasvir alone or dacladasvir Asunaprevir, or possibly triple therapy by mid-2015. Additional companies, including Merck, Presidio, Idenix, and Achillion, as well as Vertex, have medications in development. There are direct-acting antiviral agents in development for both NS5A inhibitor targets and protease inhibitor targets, and of course, there'll be additional medications and the polymerase, or NS5E, target region. This shows nucleoside and non-nucleoside compounds, NS5B, or polymerase inhibitors. Some of these, such as 7977 or sofosbuvir, are medications that are actually nucleotide analogs to inhibit this polymerase. Back to current standards. We already highlighted that sofosbuvir and cimeprevir are FDA approved. Options on label for genotype 1 are pegylated interferon, ribavirin, and sofosbuvir for 12 weeks, or sofosbuvir, ribavirin for 24 weeks, although this has markedly increased costs, or off-label use of sofosbuvir and cimeprevir without interferon or ribavirin for 12 weeks. We do believe that over the next year, pegylated interferon use will diminish substantially, although I think it will remain in use to shorten therapy in patients who are interferon eligible, thereby saving substantial costs in a subset of patients. Interferon can shorten therapy. There's data where you can use interferon with sofosbuvir plus ribavirin and shorten genotype 1 therapy and genotype 3 therapy down to 12 weeks instead of sofosbuvir ribavirin for 24 weeks. This is also applicable to non-co-infected patients with hepatitis C. Again, 12-week triple for genotype 1 or 12-week triple for HCV-HIV co-infected patients. Similar protocols can be used for genotype 4, 5, and 6. Again, triple interferon, sofosbuvir, ribavirin. Genotype 6 in the U.S. is not on label, but there is data in a small group of patients showing very high response rates. Genotype 6 is FDA approved with sofosbuvir in the EU by the EMEA. All oral is standard of care for genotype 2 specifically, and an option for genotype 3 and 1 with 24 weeks. Ribavirin, we think, will continue to have a role, at least short term, as either part of a rescue therapy program or useful in the treatment of drug resistance. This slide shows direct-acting antiviral agents, DAAs, and their key characteristics. We've highlighted protease inhibitors, NS5A inhibitors, nucleoside or nucleotide inhibitors, and then the non-nuke inhibitors of the NS5B polymerase. This slide highlights some specific potency issues, genotypic coverage, barrier to resistance across these different classes of drugs. This highlights the components for achieving SVR in hepatitis C In February of 2014, you have options of NS3 or protease inhibitors, NS5B, and of course, that backbone of pegylated interferon, or ribavirin, or pegylated interferon plus ribavirin. This slide now diagrammatically pushes us out, and again, this is projected, not guaranteed, but it's likely by September of 2014, we'll be able to use an NS5A, such as ledipasvir, with sofosbuvir, an NS5B polymerase inhibitor, without interferon, without ribavirin. I think there'll be continued use of an NS3, such as cimeprevir, with NS5B, sofosbuvir, off-label, also to treat. Recall that this COSMOS protocol for 12 weeks without interferon or ribavirin, used for genotype 1, and specifically genotype 1B, can have cure rates of 100%. This is a small study, but I think it's robust because they had a substantial number of individuals who were treatment failures with interferon and ribavirin, specifically null responders. In genotype 1A, the SVR, or cure rate, with this combination of cimeprevir and sofosbuvir was 90%. A 10% difference between 1B and 1A, the decrement with genotype 1A, was probably explained by the pre-existing Q80K gene mutation. That Q80K, I think, can be overcome from data that's been published by adding back ribavirin for triple for 12 and probably could get to 100% cure rate with a very favorable safety profile. This slide shows the components for achieving SVR in hepatitis C 2015 and beyond. This is diagrammatically shown just to give you some different concepts and options, a menu format. We've already gone over many of these combinations, and we'll be reviewing those more in the next few minutes. What are the foundations for interferon-free all-oral regimens? We've talked about sofosbuvir, a polymerase inhibitor, with potent antiviral activity against hepatitis C genotypes 1 through 6, high barrier to resistance. Even the 282, which is hypersensitive to ribavirin, very rarely explains any treatment emergent events such as relapse on therapy or breakthrough on therapy. This is once daily, part of an all-oral regimen in many cases, tablet, no food effect, drug-drug interactions are only due to a small group of medications that stimulate P-glycoprotein and could decrease sofosbuvir blood levels. Generally safe and well tolerated with a safety profile of over 2,000 patients without any clear treatment emergent side effects. This slide is talking about the NS5A inhibitor ledipasvir and sofosbuvir, or possibly sofosbuvir being used with a non-nuke polymerase inhibitor that would act at a different binding site. Ledipasvir and sofosbuvir has had a submission in February 2014 for application for a fixed-dose combination regimen, interferon and ribavirin-free for genotype 1. We'll have to see as treatment data emerges for other genotypes. This NS5A medication is effective against the S282. Gilead also has a non-nuke NS5B polymerase inhibitor that binds at the thumb site 2 and the hepatitis C polymerase protein. It's also once daily dosing and has nanomolar potency against hepatitis C genotypes 1A and 1B. The next slide gives results of the ELECTRON study. Now this is sofosbuvir plus ribavirin with either ledipasvir or this new polymerase inhibitor. It's a non-nuke 12-week treatment regimens. You have to recognize that the numbers are small, but let's go to the box at the bottom, highlighted in red, with SVR rates that are very high in naive individuals, 92%, 100%, and 84%. In nulls, again, a small number, but 9 out of 9, using sofosbuvir, ledipasvir, plus ribavirin, showed 100% SVR rate, and the same with the new non-nuke polymerase inhibitor. Small, exploratory, but very encouraging, with more robust data that was recently submitted to the FDA as part of the package insert and product information that would emerge if this is approved by the FDA, expected August to September of 2014. This next slide is the electron study design, showing genotype 1, including F4, F3, and F4 in treatment-experienced individuals, and then F0, 1, and F2 in genotype 1 naive. This is the electron or electron 2 studies. These are all open labels. This slide shows the SVR12 results, Geno1 treatment experience, in a graphic format. On the far left, from another study, is sofosbuvir plus ledipasvir in cirrhotic patients without ribavirin, showing a cure rate of 70%. In the most difficult to treat patient population, such as cirrhotics who already may be anemic, the removal of ribavirin could easily help and assist in managing such patients, and the SVR rate in this group is quite encouraging. Next slide shows SVR results, treatment duration, Geno1, treatment naive, no cirrhosis. Here we're showing in the Lone Star study with 8 weeks of sofosbuvir plus ledipasvir, a 95% cure rate. Again, an amazing result. I'm now slowly bringing forward the expanded data that was used by Gilead for their submission for this fixed-dose combination, hopefully to be approved by August or September of 2014. This slide looks at hemoglobin levels during and after treatment, specifically with sofosbuvir, ledipasvir with ribavirin in the blue, or sofosbuvir, ledipasvir plus this new non-nuke polymerase inhibitor with green. Once you remove ribavirin, these new drugs have no treatment emergent events that would predict a bone marrow toxicity effect on red blood cells. How will we treat protease inhibitor failure patients? Patients who failed bosepivir, telaprevir, or simeprevir triple drug combinations. Let's take a look. The next slide looks at another subsegment of the Lone Star study using sofosbuvir, ledipasvir, fixed-dose combination, that's FDC, plus or minus ribavirin. And let's look at the right two columns on this slide. Previously treated on the left of those two right columns, sofosbuvir plus ledipasvir for 12 weeks. This is 19 patients, no ribavirin, with an SVR rate well over 90%. Only one patient relapsed after therapy. By adding in ribavirin, and this highlights our ribavirin role as a treatment course today, looks at a 100% cure rate in a group of patients, 21 in number. This slide looks at the Synergy trial done at the NIH, looking at sofosbuvir and ledipasvir, fixed-dose combination, either alone as two drugs, or in combination with a protease inhibitor called 9451 from Gilead, or the 9669, which we discussed earlier, is a non-nuke inhibitor, polymerase inhibitor. And look at these profound viral declines by day 1, day 3, and day 7. We're also expecting that an on-treatment response of all patients being virally cleared by 14 to 30 days. So on-treatment virologic response, meaning if the patient has a positive virus in their blood at 30 days, the most likely explanation is going to be non-compliance, since resistance has not emerged as a clinically significant issue with these medications to date. This slide looks at the components of SVR in hepatitis C without a nucleotide polymerase inhibitor. So what we're doing here is we're projecting one level forward. This is a regimen without sofosbuvir, which has been our backbone starting in December of 2013 of our new treatment regimens. This looks at an NS5B non-nuke, NS5A, a NS5A inhibitor specifically, ribavirin, and an NS3 target using one of the either second or third generation protease inhibitors. Now this slide is looking at this treatment regimen from Abbott that follows this overall protocol. We have a protease inhibitor, a polymerase inhibitor, and an NS5A inhibitor. This is a complex study design. As you can see, there are arms, specifically one arm, 79 patients with no ribavirin, with an SVR rate of 90 8% at 12 weeks. Triple therapy. Two of these medications are taken once a day. Second medication, the 333, is taken twice a day. Only one patient had a late relapse in this group. Now, again, the numbers are small. I would refer you also to data that's emerging from the SAPPHIRE study that highlights high SVR rates, including high SVR rates in a ribavirin-free regimen. These are very exciting results and really are going to move that bar of expectation, not just at 70 or 80%. We're expecting 80% threshold in most patients to have an SVR rate well over 90%. This slide looks at the Aviator study by a variety of different baseline subgroups, including log virus, F-score, IL-28, polymorphisms, genotype 1A, 1B, and gender. Here we're seeing the lowest SVR rate of 89%, with many up in the upper 90%, including one at 98% in genotype 1B. This slide looks also at the Aviator study, and look at the results in null responders. We got up to 100% in CC, again, high rates in advanced fibrosis, high viral levels, genotype 1A and 1B, women and men, over 90% across these different subgroups by history of being null responders. We mentioned earlier the SAPPHIRE study. Now, the SAPPHIRE is from the AbbVie group with phase 3, and here we're showing top-line results from a recent press release in November. Again, SVR rates over 95%. So we think soon the bar is going to be cranked up further with expectations of high SVR rates. Now, this did include ribavirin for 12 weeks, and as I mentioned, the ABT-333 is also dosed twice a day like ribavirin. Now, these are SVR24. The new SVR standard from the FDA is SVR12. This would also tell you that you're capturing, or not capturing, so to speak, late relapse patients or breakthrough patients. This is the PEARL-1 study design. This is very important from the perspective that we're looking at a number of different regimens that are ribavirin free. This is a planning phase, sub-study 1, patients without cirrhosis. And here we're seeing a variety of different profiles of treatment naive, partial, nulls, relapsers. And there's three arms here without ribavirin. Again, we're trying to phase out interferon therapy if and where we can. Its major role long-term will be to shorten therapy. And ribavirin we're trying to phase out, although we're fully recognizant that ribavirin helps cover some viral-resistant mutants or enhances effect of these drugs on a variety of viruses. Here's again the PEARL-1 study design, subset 2, patients with compensated cirrhosis, looking at patients in the 50 range per arm. And again, we're in a study that's devoid of a ribavirin component. These pearls will help us tease out how potent these drugs are and their effect in the special clinic setting. The next slide shows the AbbVie Phase 3 Clinical Development Program and a summary to date across PEARL 2, 3, and 4 with SVR rates that are in the 90 to 99% to 100% range. These are amazing results, and that bar that we're currently very happy living with SVR rates, are typically over 80 and commonly over 90%. It would be great to get to 90 to 100% SVR rates in our patients. This slide highlights the AbbVie Hep C Clinical Development Program in a different format, looking at the study names, the genotypes, special patient populations, and comparative trials. So the comparative trials, which are called Malachite, are looking at compared to different medications, including protease inhibitors combined with PEG interferon and ribavirin. Let's talk about genotype 1B. What are the components of SVR in these patients? An NS3 inhibitor that's targeted against genotype 1B, such as valdeprevir or asuenepivir, also combined with a NS5A. We get interesting results, and we'll talk about those. Here's an all-oral combination regimen of Declatosphere plus Asuenepivir an interferon ineligible, interferon naive or intolerant, and importantly, non-responder patients in Japan. Again, this is a genotype 1B targeted study, 24 weeks, again, 24 and 12-week follow-up intervals. This is published at AASLD 2013. This slide shows the combination of a NS5A dacladosphere plus esinapravir, 24 weeks, genotype 1B, with very high SVR rates, over 80%. This is exciting because it's interferon-free, ribavirin-free, and led to licensing of this combination therapy in Japan. Very high SVR rates over our 80% threshold. As you recall, difficult number of patients, including 87 non-responder patients. Very exciting information, of course. We're going back to the Abbott regimen, but here we're talking about null responders, looking at the 450, which is a protease inhibitor, and ABT-267, NS5A inhibitor, genotype 1B, treatment naive, and more importantly, null responders with SVR 12 rates of over 90%. Very important protocol being put forward also by the AbbVie group. Let's look at a different combination. Protease inhibitor, non-nuke polymerase inhibitor, and an NS5A inhibitor without ribavirin. Here we're looking at the dacladosphere, esinapravir, plus a new BMS drug we'll call the 325. Now this is 12 weeks. Previous study we talked about, the Japanese study was 24 weeks. This group had 166 patients included, genotype 1 stratified by their 1A, 1B, and the presence or absence of cirrhosis with 10% cirrhosis in each group. Let's talk about the SVR rate in these patients. This slide shows the efficacy through SVR 12 with results consistently above 90%. This is extremely important information, showing again we can get to a point that we're going to be interferon and ribavirin free using a number of combinations. One of the biggest questions is whether we can shorten therapy to 8 or 6 weeks. I did show you briefly data using ladipasphere down to treatment intervals as short as 8 weeks. More to come. On this slide, we're just highlighting that genotypes 2, 3 have broken ground on the first approved all-oral regimen, but there are a few caveats. Let's discuss those. What about those genotype 3 cirrhotic patients who have response rates of 80% or less? Well, with an albumin over 3.5 in platelets, it's easy to talk about adding interferon if there are no other interferon combination or contraindication to use. That's coming from the CUPIC study or the French group that showed that patients who got interferon, received interferon with albumin less than 3.5, and especially if platelets were under 100,000, very high rate of complications, anemia, hospitalizations, death, infection. So there's something about liver function and portal hypertension that makes these patients very interferon sensitive in terms of toxicity. But again, let's go back to this group. Got a genotype 3 patient who has cirrhosis, who you think could benefit from treatment with interferon and sofosbuvir. You're thinking about whether to go with ribavirin and use of interferon in this special group. Geno 3, cirrhotic, 12-week triple therapy, interferon-based, 83% cure rate. This is going to cut your costs from $220,000 for sofosbuvir ribavirin for 24, again, these are estimated numbers, down to $100,000 if you're going to use sofosbuvir 12, PEG 12, ribavirin 12. Great cost savings, so think about that in your patients over the next 6 to 12 months as new treatment options emerge. We're going to talk about failing PEG ribavirin, telaprevir, and bosaprevir, mixing and matching. Now, we covered this partially earlier with a discussion about ladipasphere, and I'm just highlighting here that there's a number of ongoing company collaborations looking at polymerase inhibitors, NS5A and ribavirin, or NS5B protease, NS3A inhibitors plus ribavirin. We think we'll be able to, quote, clean up, end quote, patients that failed telaprevir and bosaprevir historically. My advice in this setting, though, is to get drug-resistant mutation testing, which is available through labs such as LabCorp or Quest. On this slide, we're looking at dacladasphere plus sofosbuvir plus or minus ribavirin in genotype 1 patients who failed tenofovir and bosutovir. Now, this is a 24-week study, but one arm is ribavirin-free. Very good safety profile. No patients discontinued due to adverse events. And the most common events were fatigue and headache. And by the way, fatigue is the only real side effect that I've seen with sofosbuvir as part of that treatment emergent adverse event profile. In this slide, we're looking at the cladosphere plus sofosbuvir, plus or minus ribavirin, but let's look at the purple bars. This is ribavirin-free. Again, we're over 90% SVR or cure rate, with many of this patients reaching SVR 12, 100%. And there's one patient missing at post-treatment week 12, but treatment was undetectable. HCV RNA was undetectable. Post-treatment at week 4, and at week 24. So we're looking realistically here at cure rates of 100% on an intent to treat protocol. On this slide, we're looking at the virologic response to this combination therapy, the presence or absence of NS3 polymorphisms baselines, such as a Q80K, which is an important issue historically, or more importantly in this group, R155, which predicts failure to bosutovir and tenofovir, profound response, no sensitivity to the presence of these baseline existing resistant mutations. Here is the retreatment of a patient who had relapsed after multiple DAA treatment, resistant virus following 12 weeks of sof-lidipivir. And this patient was retreated with sof-lidipivir ribavirin for 24 weeks with an SVR12. And it highlights the percentage and the occurrent treatment emergent resistance RAVs during this different therapy. So it looks like ribavirin is a great equalizer and can help manage without interferon these resistant mutations. This is a slide that's discussing ribavirin and the effect of ribavirin on 282, or the sensitivity of ribavirin to 282. Wanted to highlight that Presidio, a company that's focused on NS5A inhibitors, is moving forward from their San Francisco base with a number of collaborations using their NS5A inhibitors with other direct-acting antiviral agents. This summarizes another company's hepatitis C therapy drug development plans, including a polymerase inhibitor, combination with an NS5A and sofosbuvir, combination therapy with their nucleotide polymerase, their NS5A and a protease inhibitor, and an NS5A and next generation protease inhibitor called ACH2684, and savapavir, another known protease inhibitor that's in development as well. Again, Achilleon, their drug development pipeline. Merck has a variety of agents looking at medications across a variety of targets, looking at treating hepatitis C in their Seaworthy, Seascape, Seaspirit, and Sea Salvage studies, focusing across genotypes 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6, patients who had previously failed therapy, looking at treatment regimens of 8, 12, and 18 weeks. Treatment data will emerge from these studies shortly. Adenix, another company with substantial medications in their HCV pipeline, has somatosphere, an NS5A inhibitor, another inhibitor looking at, which is a uridine nucleotide analog for polymerase, other polymerase targets, and additional nucleotide inhibitors in development, all for hepatitis C. This looks at the Helix study with somatosphere and sonoprevir, a protease inhibitor from Janssen targeting genotype 1. But we also know that sonoprevir has very substantial genotype 4 effect. So this is a genotype 1b, genotype 4 study. Very interesting medications that have favorable safety profiles, high in vitro efficacy. This is Helix 1 phase 2 clinical trial part A results, again with very exciting results, end of treatment responses that are in the 90% range, and will encourage moving forward with these medications for more expanded treatment trials. HELIX 2, Phase 2 clinical trial design, all-oral, 12-week, 3-DAA combination, making it more difficult to treat patients including relapsers, somatosphere, simeprevir, and the TMC-055 medication. Results are expected in the near term. Additional therapies for hepatitis C are evolving. Uptake inhibitors, human data pending, antisense including linked nucleic acids, animal studies in progress, adenovirus-delivered antisense, interfering RNA, P7 inhibitors, lambda interferon, NS4 inhibitors, and cyclophilin inhibitors, although it's unlikely these cyclophilin inhibitors will move forward because their efficacy is low and there's some adverse event profiles that we might be concerned about. So it looks like hepatitis C therapy may eventually parallel what we're seeing with Helicobacter pylori. And I'd like to thank Dr. Paul Kuo for this important slide. This information just states that, wow, combination therapy, short-term treatment, may easily result in eradication rates that are over 80%. I'd like to give special thanks to Paul Kuo and Ira Jacobson, and a number of our other collaborators who shared their slides to help make this important slide presentation. I'd also like to thank my University of Washington collaborators for helping put this forward in a very exciting format, and I hope this will be of use to you in your practice over the year 2014 and beyond. Thank you very much.